Okay. Can you hear me? Merry Christmas. Oh, man. I'm so excited about today. This is one of our favorite services. And boy, the band was awesome. I don't know where you guys are at, but... Oh, let me set my timer so you can get home and eat. How about that? I just wanted to welcome you to Soundhouse. I'm going to sit down. Is that okay? Okay, I want to welcome you guys to Soundhouse. I know family and friends are here, and I know some of you maybe have never been here before. You've seen our signs and walked by and thought, okay, this might be a great time to check out the church. And so we're really glad you're here. Kiddos are in here. I'm so happy the kids are in here, and they got coloring books, and they're happy, and they got snacks. And so if you're hungry, reach over to a parent. They will feed you and take care of you. And just if you're new to Soundhouse, if this is your first service, you haven't been here, just got to let you know just briefly what we're about. And you'll see it in your handout that you have there. And we're about spiritual growth. We have four things we really focus on: spiritual growth, who we are in our faith and as we grow. And everything that we try to do here is focused on trying to spiritually grow. We really, really care about intentional community. We are so divided more and more today, just with even technology and with the busyness of life, but the intentional community is very big to us and important. And man, I tell you what, you don't really value it until you really need it, right? And then we're very generationally minded, and so we want people from all generations connecting to each other and learning from each other, because I am almost 44, obviously not a strong man anymore, and I've learned so much from generations ahead of me, and man, we need them so much in our life. That's how I feel. I do. Yeah. Yeah. And then lastly, we're very kingdom focused. We believe that, you know, God is using the church to really further what his plan is, and we're a part of that. But we also really, really care about working with other churches. You know, we always say this, is that, you know, we're a church, but all churches report to corporate, you know what I mean? Like, to heaven. Yeah, God is doing something in this earth, and we want to be a part of it and work with our brothers and sisters from all walks of life in different churches. And so that's just really who we are as a church. If you have any questions, let us know, or whoever brought you, they can connect you with us in some way. It is Christmas Eve. I got an early Christmas present. I just tell you right now, if you don't know me, like, this is fitting for me. So I'm very reckless. I don't think about things. And so I thought it would be awesome to play basically tackle tag in the house with my two sons. One is 16, almost 17, going on 17. And then my 9-year-old. And so when I was running in the dark, my son stopped quickly because he's agile and I'm not, and it takes a long time to slow down. And I kicked the back of his heel. He did tell me later he actually didn't feel anything. And then I was crushed. But I broke my toe sideways, which was really great. It's nice and pointing that way, and fractured some other toes, and then hurt my fractured my foot. So here I am today. I'm sitting down like it's story time with old Pastor Ryan, okay? Really happy about this. You know, I love Christmas season, and it is amazing, and there's so many things to be thankful for, and I know you are, and you think about your family, and you think about your friends, and you think about just being able to be here and experience singing songs about the birth of Jesus. And, you know, we think about Christmas, it's generosity, and it's thankfulness, and it's all these amazing things, and even surprise gifts, and you know, so there's a lot wrapped up in Christmas. And so I tend to do this every year, is I always want to kind of just look at a humorous side of Christmas and find something that we all kind of see, but maybe put it together in just a little presentation for you. And so this year I was looking at, like, what probably is the best way that people are experiencing Christmas right now on the internet, and it is definitely social media's gift to Christmas. And you probably get them memes sent to you, or images posted, or you name it. And so I have a few up here that just took the cake for me, and so can I share these with you? These are my top ones that I really love before we get started. This was Christmas memes, and if you could throw this first one up, I hope it gets up there. This is one of my favorites. I find your lack of Christmas spirit disturbing. And it's Darth Vader with Elf on the Shelf. I love that one. Okay, how about this one? Oh, yeah, this one got me. I don't care what the song says, I don't smell. And let me see this next one. Oh, yeah, the Grinch. This is a great one because this is me. When I tried my best to shop for Christmas presents for my family, but then I see something and I think, you know who would like that? Me. I love that one. I've done that way too many times. Okay, and then I was looking through and I go, okay, those are good memes of Christmas. And then I always love these because I think this was me as a child, and I think some of your kiddos maybe were like this, but these are these pictures that you see with kiddos when they meet Santa for the first time. And it's traumatic and it's scary. Let's see this first one up here. I love this because both of them in unison, and Santa's so calm and cool. Look at him. He's so happy. As soon as they get off their lap, he's happy. But then, okay, this next one. I love this. Because this is actually how some of us can approach life. Some of us are like this girl, and some of us are like this little boy here, right? And we can approach the season like this, but I don't understand this next one. I really don't. I don't know if it's been doctored. I don't. How did he get those teeth? Ooh, that's by far, that made my day when I saw that one. And then I love these, you guys have like a little nativity set in your house, and my kids have done all kinds of crazy stuff with their nativity set, and baby Jesus has been broken in half many times, and we glue Jesus back together. But I love some of these really creative ones. Let's see this first one. This one here is for the meat lover. I thought it was really creative. And so if you love barbecuing and you love Christmas, then why not some bacon-wrapped Mary and Joseph? That's great. Oh, a little bacon-wrapped Jesus. He's a little weenie. Aw, that's cute. I didn't notice that. And then how about this one here? I didn't know what to think about it. I can't believe this is actually for sale. And then someone would purchase it and then put it out. And then I tried to imagine myself walking in their house and going, oh, that's different. I didn't know. I put myself through the scenario. If you bought that, I'm really sorry. I'm not a big Frankenstein fan. And this last one I like because it felt so real in a way if Jesus came today. And this is a modern one. And I thought this is so fitting. Oh, look at them. Jesus' first selfie. Love that. And I got to tell you, this is my favorite of all time. When I saw the video, I was like, oh, I love this video. I don't know if you've seen it. It's just a short minute, but it's a nativity play of these little kids are in it. And, well, you should just see for yourself. It brings some holiday cheer to you. Cute. I loved it. Oh, yeah. I mean, these things bring joy to our life. And obviously today we're here to have some fun. We're here to enjoy each other as a family. But really today we're going to just take a moment. We're going to pause. We're going to put everything else on hold because there's so many obligations, so many things that we need to do. But one thing we're going to do today is we're going to just honor the birth of Christ, and we're going to talk about this most significant thing that he has done in our lives. And I hope that you are experiencing today. If not, I hope you experience it before you leave and for the rest of the season. And it's really ultimately, we're going to honor how this birth changed the entire world forever. And we are a result of that sitting in here today. So let's pray. God, we thank you so much. And God, as we read your word, I ask that you just really speak to us about who Jesus is and what the significance or the importance of the birth was. And God, I just ask that you help us experience this pure joy of the birth of Jesus as we celebrate tonight and then ultimately tomorrow, and that we experience that joy just like that little girl who felt like, I got to hang on to this Jesus, God, and little do we know you are hanging on to us. And so, God, I ask that you just ultimately let every one of us experience your peace, your eternal peace, the peace that's beyond understanding tonight and tomorrow and throughout the season. God, we love you and we thank you. No matter what we're going through, your hand is always the hand that calms the storm in the middle of it. God, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I titled this message, Peace is Born. And it really, the whole direction of the message is ultimately this, is the day that heaven's peace came to earth. Jesus would use this phrase that on earth as it is in heaven. And he was trying to let people understand there's a link between heaven's rule and heaven's way and what's happening in the earth. And he's announcing that his announcement is that he is the beginning of a new era, a peace that changed the world and something that really impacted everything for millennials and ultimately to God's final plan of his reign here on earth and as he settles on earth. And I think when you think about peace, it allows so much. When you think about the times where you don't feel safe, you don't feel peace, you feel scared or worried, peace times allow for a culture, even if you look at it that way, to thrive. You know, education increases, right? Stability increases. Laws help govern, right? I mean, these are just basic stuff, right? You have comfort, you have hope, there's security. And that's what peace does. But Jesus' peace is very different because it transcends all circumstances. It's beyond what we can imagine. It's a steady in the midst of any storm that happens. And it's a steady that's beyond what we can even comprehend. Heaven spoke of it this way, Jesus' birth. Years and years and years before Jesus is born, a future teller, a prophet says this in Isaiah, "For unto us a child is born, right? To us the son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." That's his title. And so we see here that his way of ruling is peace, and how he rules is in peace. So it's very much this is what's coming their way. And then when John the Baptist, right? His father hears heaven say this, and he speaks it out loud. In Luke, he says, "Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, and that to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death." And here we go. "And to guide us to the path of peace." It's to a people then and now, who when you're in a place where you don't know which path, he takes you down the path of peace, right? He'll help you take this path. Have you ever been presented with an option, but you had multiple options? And it depends on how you feel, especially if it's dealing with a situation that maybe you're frustrated with somebody. And the path of peace shrinks the more emotionally involved you get with it and the more frustrated you get. And then pretty soon the path of peace becomes almost like a little dirt road. And then it becomes a small little track. And then pretty soon it's like, for some of us, the path of peace is like blazing a new trail if we were to go. And so ultimately, Jesus says, "I'm going to take you down this path. And it may feel hard at first, and it may be difficult ground for you at first. But as you start walking in peace with others, then pretty soon this small little dirt trail becomes a road. And then pretty soon it becomes paved. Pretty soon it becomes a freeway. And no more back streets and weird ways to get somewhere, but there's this highway, this freeway of peace. Jesus wants to take us down that path. And then the last thing said about Jesus' birth, about peace, was this by the shepherds, right? To the shepherds. All of heaven opens up and sings this in Luke 2. Suddenly the angels joined by a vast host of others and the armies of heaven praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest in heaven and peace on earth and to those whom God is pleased." Peace has come to earth, they're saying. And all of heaven celebrating, it means it's a big deal. Peace is here now. And he's telling those shepherds, it's lying in a manger in Bethlehem. I want to give you two reminders today about peace and just two things we can walk out with if you feel like, man, I don't know what peace is. I'm not feeling peace. And we can, in some ways, Christmas can be incredible for some. It could be a new Christmas experience for others because of circumstances that happened in our life. I've had that, where it was a new normal Christmas, and it felt weird because I was missing somebody, right? We've all had these experiences of Christmas, but also there's this joy of celebrating what we do have around us. So I want to leave us with two things about peace, and maybe that can comfort you today, or at least inspire you more. One is Jesus is our peace. The Bible is very clear about that. And I'll say it this way, the peace Jesus brought rests inside of you as an anchor in any storm. It's resting there as an anchor, and too many people don't latch to it in a storm, and they don't realize they have this anchor of peace in their life waiting. And I'll say this, how do you know what that feels like? And I can tell you what it feels like when you anchor to something and you feel like, well, I don't know why I shouldn't be stable, but I am. This peace Jesus is talking about. If you've ever had it where you're going through something, and people are like, what's going on with you? They're asking questions like, are you worried? Why are you freaking out? And for some reason, you have this internal, I'm comforted, I'm fine. If you've ever felt that feeling in the middle of circumstances you shouldn't experience, what Jesus is promising is way beyond that. But you're getting close when you start remembering those times. It feels like that, but it's a peace that you hold on through anything at all times into eternity. John 16:33 says this, "I have said these things to you." Jesus is saying these words himself, these things to you, "that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, difficulties, trials," right? "But take heart, for I have overcome the world." Meaning this, don't worry. I got this. Now, I don't trust people when they say that. It really depends on the person. But sometimes, I mean, I love my kids, but sometimes they're like, "Dad, don't worry about it. I got it." I'm like, "No, you don't got it. I'm freaking out." And Jesus says, "Don't worry, I got it. I have overcome the world. And whatever world you're experiencing right now, I've overcome that as well." You know, my dad always used to say this saying, and I say it here often, but that when we would get worried, you know, we get stressed about, like, you know, we one time we lost our house and we had to move and it was difficult as kids. And my dad said, "Hey, listen, don't worry until I start worrying." And I was like, "I better never see you worry. That means it's bad." And essentially Jesus is like, "Don't worry until you see me worrying." And I'm not worried at all. He's come to bring peace. John in John 14, he says this, "Peace," he's telling this to his disciples and ultimately us, his disciples. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." What does he mean by "my peace"? "I give you my peace." That's a really interesting phrase in the Bible when he says that. I sure would love to talk about that for an hour, but there's dinner. Jesus' peace is this, is what he's ultimately saying. You see, Jesus would say this. Out of the peace he has, these are the things he does. The world is God's. You hear him say it throughout the gospel. He would say his plan is the plan, not worried about it. His love for his children is boundless, unstoppable. He wasn't worried about it. In temptation, peace. In harassment, peace. In injustice, peace. In loneliness, which he experienced all of those, peace. In hard times, peace. And ultimately, in overwhelm, there was peace. Everywhere He went everywhere he ventured. It was peace. And he says, oh, by the way, I'm giving you that peace that goes beyond conventional wisdom, beyond your feelings, beyond anything else, but anchor to it because it's my peace. And he gives it to us. I love that. He says, yeah, this is what I'm giving you, my peace. Everything that was just stated there and more. And you have that. I was reading this great article in Psychology Today, and it was kind of interesting about finding inner peace. And I like these articles. Sometimes they have some good things and sometimes things I don't really care that much about. But this one was interesting. I'm going to just throw these up here for you really fast. They'll be on the screen. This is how they said you could find inner peace. Now, mind you, this is not a Christian publication, but they said to find inner peace, in, you know, like getting rid of like toxic people, engaging with toxic people, you got to stop that. And if you look at all these lists that I'm going to throw up here, you'll see Jesus teaching about almost every one of these, if not all of them, and about really finding strength to deal with all of these through him. He was a little bit ahead of his time. Engaging with toxic people, Jesus would say, listen, you need to be with your disciples. Don't cut the world out, but listen, strengthen with each other, right? Excessive self-blame. Jesus says, you have a new identity. You don't have to be shaming yourself anymore. I've bought it. I gave this identity to you. I've come to bring that inner peace. Chasing happiness. He's like, you're going to chase happiness and you're going to think you got it, but you never got it. True happiness comes from somewhere much deeper, he would say. Staying comfortable, meaning this, is that just even being able to stay comfortable and stay content, Jesus would really ultimately say, before you get yourself out so much where you're constantly hurting yourself. The victim mentality would say, listen, you take ownership for your sins and you confess them and you repent. And that's ownership, right? Right? Trying to impress other people. He's like, why try to impress everyone else? We can't promise tomorrow. Why get caught up in that? He was really progressive. Did you notice that? The pursuit of perfection, he would say, like, you can't be perfect. Only God can be perfect and I am perfect. So give up the race. You can't keep up, but I'm going to ultimately do something for you you can never do. You can't be perfect. And so he would go on and say grudges or unforgiveness. These are the types of things that, right, the world, and I think general wisdom would say, these are good things to let go of so you can find inner peace. And Jesus is like, forgive because you've been forgiven and watch what happens to you and others. The quest for really ultimate material things. He'd say all that stuff of the world's going to go away, but there's one thing that's more valuable than anything else. That matters. And then ultimately, complete self-reliance, being so reliant on yourself, where you everything's on you, creates unhappiness. And Jesus says, you can lean on me. God says, you lean on me. I'm your strength when you're weak. So when you look at peace and finding inner peace, really Jesus is that. And following him is that. And putting hope in you in him is that. And he'll walk you through those things. Scripture's full of them. A small practice before we get to this last thing. Practice is this, is when peace is in question in your life and you're struggling, and we've all been there, right? Remember that you already possess it, believer. You already possess it. It's there. It's like that thing you find in your garage. You didn't know you had that tool, and you're like, what? And you're like, why didn't I know this? Oh, yeah, I remember I bought it a long time ago. It's that thing you have, and we don't access it enough, right? During fear, worry, concern, hopelessness, right? Just in a moment, in those moments go, Jesus, like, you're my peace. I know right now that's all I have, and that's good enough for me. Second thing we can really, really look at and focus before we go today is this, is one is we see Jesus is peace, our peace. But there's this other part I can't let you go until you hear the last part of Jesus' speech in a way. And so don't miss the second part by just focusing on the first. The second part is this, he says, go in peace. That means you go with this peace and bring it to other people. Jesus said, let this peace shine its light through you to everyone. And the light that you shine is being someone who is ultimately can be a peacemaker. And I tell you what, when you get light, like me, I wish I had turned the lights on, right? I wouldn't have this situation. I told you what happened here, right? Okay, I forgot. And so, I didn't sleep much, a lot of pain. And so I never had a situation like this ever. And it was the time when I was looking for light and I needed to see light. And maybe you can relate to this a little bit. I was in a youth trip in Texas and we were in a big canyon in the middle of the desert. I'll never forget this because it was trying every part of me as a youth pastor not to abandon one of my students, okay? So we were up and we had hiked to this one point and it was a 4-mile hike. We had hiked in and it was really tough terrain, like, and it was just hiking in state land. Oh, dinner time. Okay, so, I don't know how to stop this. I'm sorry. Stop. Okay. And so we were hiking and one of our kids passed out and he had hyperventilated and he had panic attacks. And then he passed out, couldn't move for hours and hours. And I sent all the other kids back to the campsite. Me and my friend grabbed him and we were walking him down these hills in the desert. It was 1 a.m. We had no light, no cell phones, no flashlight, nothing. And we were looking at the trails this is rattlesnakes right out there. They're probably not out at night, but all kinds of things that kill it are out there. And we were walking, carrying this kid. He was 220 pounds. He was 6'4". And we're walking and we're carrying. And I remember at one point, just like, if I just ditch him, my friend and I can make it. All of a sudden, this crazy intern I had who didn't care about any laws, I see his truck driving back on this trail and over the most unbelievable terrain. And it all of a sudden I see these lights. I'm like, what's that? Jesus. You know, like, and it was his truck lights and he came. And I remember just seeing those lights and being like, oh, we're saved. Cause we were planning on spending the night out there with this kid. And I just thought then like, man, when someone sees light in a hard place, in darkness, man, that is what the believer is called to do. When you know help is on the way, when you know when everyone else has left you that light is shining, that's what a believer's heart should look like when they arrive in a dark place, such relief, not, oh my gosh, here they come to judge me again. Ooh. Matthew, I love this, and I'll go with these fast. Jesus said in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world, you, me. The city on a hill that cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the stand, and they give it light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see the good works and give glory to your Father, because when they see you, they get a glimpse of heaven from that light. My daughter, she's so sweet. She loves to cook brownies for us. And it's funny because I walked in the house one time and these brownies were out there and there's some of them were eating. And she was kind of trying to play it like, do you know I cooked these? And so I was eating them. She's like, what do you think about those brownies, huh? And I was like, yeah, they're really good. She's like, yeah, they're really good, huh? And I was like, yeah, they're really good. And she was like, I made the brownies. And I was like, oh, wow, these are really good. And she's like, yeah, I know. And it was so funny to me because, like, I think that's, like, the attitude that a believer really would want to possess, which is, listen, I have something good, and I want you to share in this with me. And if I do it through just a kind gesture, or if I do it through bringing peace to a tough relational situation, I'm going to do it because I have something I'm proud of. Last verse, Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, right? For they shall be called the sons of God or children of God. That's what God's family is known for. I'm going to ask something just really weird before we close. Now, God's family is known for being peacemakers. When you think of a Christian, blessed are the peacemakers because you know that they are God's kids because they're known by their family name and the way their family is. It's a value. Now, if you feel comfortable, if you think of a family value that you kind of say, maybe you've said it, that you say, our family is known for this. Would you mind shouting that out to me? Love. What? Love. Support. What? I hear whispering. Santa? Oh, it's your sister. Look at her. She's trying to participate. If she can do it, you can do it. Gratitude. Hospitality. See, I'm making you guys at least think about this. Hospitality. What? Now think about this. So our family, listen, ours isn't as amazing as yours. Our family, we are definitely known for just being wild and crazy. If you come into our family, we want you to feel like, whew, that was a whirlwind, fun, but you know what, time to go, right? You know, we want that. We like that. It's one of the things I think we just laugh about with our family, you know? And God's family is known for certain things, and one of them definitely is, when you think of a believer, you think of a peacemaker. So I'll give you just a practical example of this, is just extend your hand to peace. Over the holidays, with relatives, extend your hand to peace. If it's in your own interpersonal relationship, in your marriage, in your life, or your kids, extend the hand of peace. I mean, there's so many things in work relationship, at school, extend the hand of peace. You watch, it will change the way people are and will change the way they behave ultimately. And I think it always begins with just a small gesture that will ultimately can transform into someone experiencing light and going, wait, people aren't peaceful. Why are you? And you can begin a wonderful conversation and your light gets brighter and brighter and brighter. And that peace pathway gets wider and wider and wider and becomes the road easily traveled by you. I wanted to close with this thing that we like to do at Christmas Eve. And Jesus said very clearly, he said, I am the light of the world. And when he said, what I have, I give to you, right? And so Jesus ultimately says this. He says, listen, I am the light of the world. This light in this darkness, this dawn all started with a single flame through a baby that ultimately gave his life for this world, and a flame started. And a tradition that we really like is just to even signify the movement of lights and how much a full room of light can illuminate a place. And as believers, we all walk out and we say, you know what, this light doesn't burn out in my heart. I go out and I go be a place of light in darkness, a peacemaker, because that's how people know who God is. And Jesus said, take this light, I give it to you, and I pass it along. So can I have my two guys up here who are going to light these for me? Oh, you're coming from both sides. I'm going to back up. There you go. And what Brian and Peter are going to do is they're going to come down and they're going to light your candle and just pass your flame to the neighbor as well as they go. And before you guys go, Brian, stop right there. Can we pray? And then we'll get started, and then we're going to get into worship. God, we thank you so much. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. And God, as we just even in this moment have just a little sign of what it looks like when your gospel spreads to people's hearts, and we as ambassadors to your kingdom can spread the light a little further. We don't cover it up, God. We raise it high and we shine as we glorify you, because we know the brighter we burn, the more we glorify you, and the more we point people to the significance of your birth, Jesus, and how you changed the world. And thank you for letting us be a part of that. And God, help us let our light shine to the darkest places and even shine in the dark places in our life. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.